Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. And as usual, a wonderful show, an amazing guest and author, and you're going to learn so many things. And by the way, I want to let you all know that you can listen to the show again and again and again if you miss it. As soon as we get off the air, we'll be in the archives and also for free on iTunes Podcasts on the couch. So check those out. So let's just jump into it here because I want to ask you guys a few questions. Have you ever wondered, well, for sure, we all have, why some people seem to catch all the breaks and get promoted and why they seem happier and healthier? And it's because they're doing well, right? Are these successful people just incredibly lucky? Yeah, some are, maybe. They inherit a lot. But they don't do well with what they inherit sometimes. So, do you still have a dream that you've always held within you to be financially independent and to actually be excited about doing what you want to do in life? I meet so many people in my practice who are very successful. And I say, how's it going at work? How's it going in your job? What are you doing? I hate it. I hate my coworkers or I hate my employees and... Jeez, those are pretty strong words. Why don't you do something else? What a concept. You got to find out what you want to do, what your passions are. And today, you're going to find out what might be standing between you and your wildest dreams and what many super successful people know. Because my guest, Skip Pritchard, is going to be talking about his latest book. It's called The Book of Mistakes, 9 Secrets to Creating a Successful Future. Don't go anywhere, guys, because you will learn a lot today, as I did. So the truth is, here's the thing. I received his book, and I thought I was telling him a little bit earlier, do a speed read. You know, I do that. And then I slowed down in the first chapter because I really started to get hooked on the story. This is one of those stories that you start to get hooked because it's about an inspiring journey of a man named David who learns some powerful lessons in his life. And I'll let him elaborate more on that. So, by the way, Skip Pritchard is president and CEO of OCLC. It's a global nonprofit computer library service and research organization. Just to give you some ideas, it's amazing. Its goals include furthering access to the world's information and reducing library costs. What a concept, right? And Skip served for 5 years as president and CEO of Ingram Content Group, a $1.5 billion plus dollar global content provider. And there's so much to talk about when you mention the name Skip Pritchard. But let me just say his views on the future of publishing have been featured in various media, including the BBC, New York Times, CNN, NPR, Daily Beast, Harvard Business Review, just to name a few. I'm out of breath with all of those accolades, so but there are more. But let's bring up the man on the air live right now. And say hi, Skip Pritchard. Welcome to the couch.
Thanks for having me. I'm delighted and thrilled that I will be having this opportunity for public therapy.
You got it. Let's do it. Actually, I want to thank you for writing this book of mistakes, 9 Secrets to Creating a Successful Future, because I learned a lot in this book. And thank you for that. I've been doing psychotherapy as a psychologist for quite a while, quite a while, almost 20 years. And there was some wonderful insights that I took away from this book. And I really hope listeners can really get this. And I think they will. Because, you know, a lot of the information about your book suggests that it will help readers and listeners today learn how to avoid the mistakes that are so common to human nature. So if you can elaborate a little bit more. I just kind of briefly touched on the storyline a little earlier, but what is The Book of Mistakes about?
The Book of Mistakes is really a book about an ancient manuscript, fictional story, ancient manuscript with powerful lessons that have been passed from generation to generation. And the idea is that only a few select people in each generation have had access to its knowledge.
Hmm.
And the main character, David, is frustrated. He's in modern day. He's frustrated with his life. He graduated from school, but he's in a cube and he's not happy. He's not thinking his life is turning out the way he wants. In fact, he sees his friends doing these great things. He's a little bit jealous. Then he feels guilty for being jealous. He runs into this mysterious woman, and the next thing you know, he's on a journey to learn these 9 mistakes from teachers that come popping up into his life at these various times.
Ooh, that's cool. And I love the first teacher who comes into his life, which we're not going to do any spoiler alerts here, I don't think. I hope we don't do that today, because I really want listeners out there to check this book out, because you'll get into it and you won't be able to let go. And you might want to read it again and review the mistakes. Don't dog-ear the book. Use Post-its. Okay. There, that's my lecture. So getting into, I don't want to give up the story, but I just want to ask you personally, why did you decide to write this book? And also, I'm always curious about my guests. Did you make any of these 9 mistakes that you talk about in order for you to sort of be an expert on these?
I've made all 9 mistakes. Ooh, probably 90 times over.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think they're common mistakes for all of us. I think the idea is that all of us make these mistakes, and we often learn these mistakes too late in life. And then we realize, oh, if I only would have known this. I have a lot of people said, I wish I would have been given this as a graduation gift. I wish I would have known earlier.
Yeah.
And I've interviewed over 1,000 very successful people, all walks of life. And I kind of categorized these mistakes and regrets. And then I did a lot of research into various components of it. So it's a story, but it's married with kind of basis of knowledge and factual, basis for it. And then there's research that backs up each one of the 9 mistakes.
Ah, lovely. And that's the good part about it too. See, what happens, guys, is the story is wonderful. It's a fiction story. Maybe, I don't know. Is this you? I don't know. Skip? But
I think there's parts of it for sure that are autobiographical.
There you go.
And then there's others that I just kind of invented. But yes, and there's some characters in it that are actually from my life.
Ooh, I love that. Love that. So what you'll do is, you know, you'll be reading the story. It'll weave David's adventures and lessons he learns and the big mistakes with the people he meets and some of the things that he does in his life. And I won't tell you the ending because it's pretty cool. But let's help listeners learn a little bit more about the 9 mistakes that David learns on his journeys. And by the way, everyone makes these mistakes. We all do. We have to. That's how we know when not to do them most of the time. Like you said, right, Skip? You have to keep sort of repeating them sometimes in order to go, ah, gosh, maybe I shouldn't do that anymore. So
none of them I think sometimes we struggle with them and each one of us struggle with one probably more than another. And then we also have a strength zone. We might have one where I even have a quiz at thebookofmistakes.com that you can take and it says, this is your character. So, you know, like this is my strength. So it's an interesting way to look at it.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. And it's thebookofmistakes.com, folks. Don't take the test yet. Just listen to what Skip has to say here. So we're going to talk about mistake number 1. You talk about how many times we work on somebody else's dream. Oh, Can you talk a little bit more about what you mean by that?
Yeah, we often do. You know, mistake number one is working on someone else's dream. Mm. And it's so often we end up in a part of our lives and we wonder, well, how did I get here? We've been drifting,
yeah.
perhaps.
Yeah.
We maybe majored in something that somebody told us to, or we took a job because the manager kind of pushed us in that area. But we never really were deliberate. We never were purposeful. We didn't think about what
yeah.
gives us energy and why we're uniquely here. And so we end up in a place and we're working on someone else's dream and not our own. And you can't be in your best place if you're
right.
working on someone else's dream.
Right.
And so what's giving you that joy and that passion? It's generally not somebody else's dream foisted on you. And actually, the research is married to a lot of the research around those who are nearly dying. You ask them,
right.
what do you regret?
Right.
What will they say?
Yeah.
They will say, not being true to myself.
Ah.
And so
wow.
if we could be true to ourselves, if we could be working on our own dream, if we could be living in our purpose, it really is the mistake number one that charts the course. And the beautiful thing about it
mm-hmm.
is we can change that at any time.
Yes.
We can say, you know what? It's important for me to wake up to my dream and to really think about it and to rechart the future of my life. I can start that process at any time.
Wow. And interestingly enough, so many people I know come to you, as they do me, and they say, really? I'm supposed to fulfill my purpose? Well, I don't even know what that is, because as you just mentioned, you know, I've... My father wanted me to be a doctor like him, or they urged all of the kids in the family to go to Harvard, and they have to, and be an attorney, or, you know, I really am not happy with all this. So how can many of these people fulfill their purpose or find actually even what their purpose is? Let's go there first.
Yeah, it's a process, I think. And one of the most beautiful parts of life is waking up to your purpose, to realize exactly what it is that you are here to do and what's unique. And some of the ways that I think you can do that is to really tune into your energy.
Yeah.
When am I doing things that give me energy? When do I feel like, you know what? I didn't even feel like I was working. It
yes.
just was just so awesome.
Right.
And when did I feel like I was just drained? I mean, I showed up, I did what I could, but it was just pulling the life from me.
Mm-hmm.
And we often just do it because, you know, a lot of us have big batteries. We have energy. We just try to go through and do what we need to do, but we aren't thinking about it.
Right.
And so one of the great quotes I love is that the great joy of life is finding out what your purpose is and waking up to it.
I love that. And that's a great contrast. You know, do I feel good energy when I get up and go into this environment, or even, you know, if you're working remotely or whatever, as this company, or you know, versus what brings me joy, what's fun, what am I going to do that's fun, you know? And everybody
yeah
has,
and it
yeah.
doesn't mean right it doesn't mean every single second is going to be absolutely perfect, or else we would all be on a beach in Maui. Whoops, I just shared my dream.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Ka'anapali Beach. Okay, I'm with you.
Right. But it does mean that we more often than not are in areas that give us joy, that give us energy. And finding that is one of the great pleasures of life, right? To be on this journey. But part of it is just being aware that this is important, that we think about it, and that we don't just drift. We don't want to be drifting in our lives and then wake up and say, oh, wow, I wasn't true to myself. I wasn't true to who I was. We want to tune in. We want to make sure that we're working on the dream that's uniquely in us.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's so true. Well said. My goodness. All right. Let's move along to mistake number two. All right, guys. This is one of the most common problems that I experience from people who come to see me. And they say, I don't feel good about myself. My parents said this to me, and my friends made fun of me, and my life has always been trying to meet everybody else's standards. So mistake number two, allowing someone else to define your value. Oh boy, that's a biggie. Oh, can you explain a little bit more about how we make that mistake?
Most of us as adults can resonate with this when we say, do you remember a label somebody slapped on you that was unfair? Right? We think about it. We think, you know, I remember that teacher that said, you're not a good speaker. Don't, what makes you, you're not very good at math, or you're not good at standardized tests, or why do you think you can be in sports when you're not athletic? Whatever that is, we have these labels, and often we have positive labels, but we just don't remember those, right?
Yeah,
we remember the ones that are negative.
We always do. Yeah.
And often well into adulthood, we're still reacting. We're still responding to the labels that were put on us as kids. The book example that I use is the nickel, right? That the nickel is worth, obviously, what? 5 cents, right?
Right, right.
It is here. Is it 5 cents there?
Mm-hmm, it sure is.
Right? Why is it worth 5 cents? Because the label that the government puts on that nickel.
Yeah.
But it actually costs 10 to 12 cents to manufacture that nickel.
Yes.
It's actually 10 to 12 cents.
Yeah.
Why is it worth 5 cents? Because of the label. What if we're doing that? What if we're really worth 10 cents, but we're letting somebody mark us down to 5 cents?
Mm-hmm.
We cannot let others define our value. We have to shed negative labels and instead embrace labels that will take us back to our purpose.
Yeah.
And so it is very, very important. And that's not an easy process, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so some people might actually need therapy with you to uncover, unpack, and fix that.
Well, sure.
Other people need to be deliberate about it. But but it's important that we go through that process. So I make people write down, you know, what are the labels you want people to say about you?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody wrote entrepreneur.
Mm.
And we're talking, well, what's holding you back?
Right. Well,
somebody said, you're not a business person.
Mm.
Right? So we have these negative labels, and you have to really remove them and say, you know what? I'm going to put these labels on me, and I'm going to look at them every day. I'm going to visualize them. I'm going to think about this, because these are the labels that I aspire to. These are the labels I want to be responsive to.
Right.
And so don't let other people just come along and slap a label on you, right? Just don't let it happen.
Right.
And if it does happen, peel it off.
Right.
Put your own.
Beautifully said. You know, beautifully said. Were there labels that you had experienced growing up that you believed or bought into for a while?
Sure. I think that both good and bad labels that people would put on me, and some of my energy and positive, you know, I look at it, here's a good label, impatient. You're so impatient. We can't even stand it. You've got to learn this. You're going to die before this age. I mean, I heard it over and over. And I remember taking a personality test. They were doing one of the many assessments that I've had. I've had more assessments than you can imagine. And it showed me zero on the scale of patience. Now, the facilitator said, I've actually never seen anybody score zero.
Oh, no. How embarrassing,
and
right?
And I was like, oh, no. Ooh. What a label that is.
Sure.
And he said, he was so good at reframing, because what he said was, that's a really wonderful characteristic, Skip. I'm like, it is? He said, yes, because it means you have a high sense of urgency.
Ooh. I love that. That's put very nicely.
He relabeled it.
Yeah.
Right. So I thought that made such a profound impact on me, because he took that label that had been stuck on me as a personality trait, this high impatience thing, and turned it into a positive. And I actually did a lot of research that the high sense of urgency usually equates to more success. Right, because people with a high sense of urgency are driven to achieve.
They're more assertive.
So, right, so all of the negatives can be positives, but this is a really important one for us to think about, not just accepting labels people just put on us.
Oh, it's so true. I mean, you know, growing up, to be transparent, growing up in elementary school, I really had bad vision. I was very nearsighted, so I had to wear glasses, and I was teased. So I took my glasses off a lot. So I didn't do so well. I had to sit really close to the board, and I could barely even see that. And I recall being teased all the time. And, you know, you're ugly or you're, you know, and I wasn't doing as well, I think, scholastically. And that's a good excuse, I guess. But I think my mom had said to me, well, maybe you're just not going to be one of those really good students like your sister. And I remember not telling her that I didn't wear my glasses. So that wow. stuck with me a really long time, being teased and also, you know, buying into maybe I'm just not very smart, a good teacher. And then, I, you know, you get to the feisty adolescence age, and then I decided I'm going to prove her wrong and got contact lenses. So some people prove those naysayers wrong and those, you know, certain things that we're teased for, but others buy into it and then they suffer. So it's good good advice that you give in your book. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in, this is Dr. Michelle and you're on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. My special guest today is Skip Richard. He's author of The Book of Mistakes. It's 9 Secrets to Creating a Successful Future. By the way, Skip, your book has done really well, right? I mean, it's already rocking it.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. I was so pleased. Its first week it came out, it was in the top 25 of all nonfiction books. Mm-hmm. And that surprised me since it's really fiction. And they didn't know where to put the book, right?
Right, right.
It wasn't listed as a business book. And the third week it got listed as a business book and landed on the Wall Street Journal list.
Right.
And nobody knows how to characterize this book. Is it personal development, fiction, nonfiction, success, business? It's kind of one of those, yes, it's all of those things. And I've been really kind of in this awe factor as you start to see it get translated into languages around the world. And it's really neat. And to see the covers that these imaginative people think of as they take it into cultures around the world. It's been really fun.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I'm so proud of you. It's good. It deserves it. Good for you. Onward and upward with this book. More and more. And hopefully listeners out there, guys, you'll get it. I'll tell you how you can get it at the end of the show and also find out more about Skip. Moving on to mistake number 3. It's all yours, Skip. Accepting excuses. That's, my goodness.
It's a big one. And it's not a fun one, right? I mean, nobody, accepting excuses. It's kind of heavy.
But, sure.
I've learned in interviewing 1,000 plus people that the power of people who have personal accountability is amazing. Mm. I interviewed Rich Gaspari. Rich Gaspari is the CEO of Gaspari Nutrition. He was actually Mr. Universe, I think, and all kinds of bodybuilding awards.
Sure.
And he came out with a book, No Excuses. I met him at the Arnold competition here in Columbus.
Cool.
And he said, I'm going to get back on the cover of the magazines decades after having won these awards.
Wow.
And I'm going to do it by using no excuses. I was like, whoa. And he did.
Wow.
Personal accountability is one of those incredible differentiators from people who want to be successful and those who struggle with it.
Yeah.
And there's an incredible power to take responsibility and move forward. And David in the story, he learns not to be jealous, not to get lost in fear, and to be authentic in his power.
Hmm.
And we all learn this.
Yes.
And, you know, in fact, I could pivot and tell you a real life example.
Oh, yeah.
If it's helpful. Yeah.
Sounds good.
So CEO of a company, I was at a company, different company, I'm running it. And one of the people had been the key sales leader and lost a major client.
Mm-hmm.
And that person had the unfortunate circumstance of having to present to the executive team on the very day after this happened. And we got a letter in basically that said, it was this person's fault that you lost us.
Ooh.
Very upset.
Yikes.
And I'll never forget, because instead of making excuses, he came in and took full accountability. He said, before we get going, I want to start and say, I'm sorry. I did this. It's my fault. Here's what I'm going to do. I've purchased a ticket on my own dime to fly out and apologize. I'm going to win this account back. I mean, opposite of making excuses, could have easily made 1,000 excuses and probably been right on 500 of them.
Right.
We were also stunned. We broke out into an applause.
Wow.
I mean, wow. You took full accountability. You made no excuse. Guess what?
What?
He got promoted.
There you go.
A year later.
Oh, that's amazing.
Based on the fact that he had so much personal accountability. Mm. Making excuses is a really dangerous one. It's easy for us to do, and it's mm-hmm. easy for us to surround ourselves with people who say, oh, it's okay, mm-hmm. and, you know, whatever. But it's not going to take us to where we want to go.
Right.
It's we've got to get out of that mentality. We've got to stop making excuses. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And even with those excuses, how can I use them to be more inspirational to others who are dealing with the same baggage or the same things that are pulling me back? And yet if I overcome, I'm going to inspire all of them. I'm going to
yes.
be the one to show them that it can be done.
Ah, beautifully said. It really is. You know, when we own it, we get respect. I mean, when usually people don't expect, you know, in work environments or personal situations, I am so sorry. I did screw up. I should have done this and this and this, and here's how I plan to change. I mean, it's almost, it kind of knocks your socks off, right? So it's a really refreshing thing when people actually own it. And there is respect for individuals who do that.
Yeah, it does. And I'll tell you the other thing it does is when people are making excuses, it's like on a negotiation table, they're putting themselves on the opposite side mm-hmm. and you're at odds.
Yeah.
When someone is transparent and authentic, I mean, and the level of that I leave to people to decide.
Yeah.
But when you're explaining, like you just said, mm-hmm. hey, here's what happened and here's this, and I'm taking ownership of this. You pull that person onto your side of the table.
Yeah.
You make them want to be with you. We start then rooting for you. Now I'm championing you. Now I'm supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a totally different feel
yes.
than if you're making an excuse and we're at opposite sides.
Mm-hmm. Mm, so true. So true. So if you check this mistake number three out, everybody out there, you'll learn why behind every excuse is a door to greatness. I love that. I love how you write that. That's a good one. I was going to ask you how David, the main character in your book, overcame making excuses, but I won't because I don't want to do any spoiler alerts here. I really want people to get into this book, basically. So let's move on. We're going to talk about the fourth mistake, and it's we should avoid surrounding ourselves with the wrong people. Okay. That's something a lot of us don't realize we're doing because we just sort of have a vibe and we get along with people or we know people from early days, you know, growing up with them, and we all change as we grow and we feel comfortable or we have certain needs that need to be filled up, whatever they may be. And it's easy to hang with people who are not really good for us. So
yeah.
Can you get a little bit more into this and the importance of how our friends determine our fate?
Yes. In the story, David becomes aware of it at certain points. He just he kind of reflects and yeah. sees himself in the moment, and he starts to wake up and become aware of the conversations that normally just happen.
Mm.
But now as he's on this journey, he's much more aware and he hears negativity and certain things that causes him to kind of wake up to this. Surrounding ourselves with the right people is so crucially important.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody listening who has a really negative boss and can think of a moment when they had a 5-minute blast of full-on anger.
Right.
I love this Inc. magazine article I read about this that showed a study.
Mm.
5 minutes of that anger
mm-hmm.
at us impacts our immune system for 6 hours.
Oh, my gosh. That's – oh, yes. Oh.
6 hours. Right. Oh. We take that on. Higher blood pressure, higher anxiety, lower immune system. It just literally impacts everything in us.
Mm.
And yet we're not always deliberate about the people that we have in our lives. Study shows that if our best friend gains weight in another city,
mm-hmm.
the chances of us gaining weight grow up over 60%. Why is this?
Yeah.
By the way, if I ever gain weight, I just blame my friends. No,
good,
I
good.
I guess that's making
good for
an
you.
Excuse. But it's people are connected to us in this incredible way. Even on the positive side, I was using negative examples. A Holt Lunstead study showed that the people around you at work can literally affect your happiness. They can value it. You can value their happiness. You can increase your value of happiness quotient by $100,000 a year. Yeah. And in fact, if you have really good friends that are positive and encouraging, you are literally less likely to die.
Yes.
That's a reason not to surround yourself with good people. I don't know what else would be.
That's big motivation right there.
Less likely to die.
So there
that's
you go.
Something to sign up for. But, but you're right. Like, we often don't think about, you know what? I need to be very deliberate and conscious around who I'm letting into my life. Who am I letting speak into my head? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to simply just let anyone come in and throw garbage around. So what am I listening to? Is it positive? What am I reading? Is it going to encourage or educate me? I'm not going to just let people blast me with negativity.
Right.
And then I wonder, why am I having a bad day?
Exactly. Well, No, right? I know.
That's
I talk to so many people. They have these amazing, you know, positions at their work, and they're making pretty decent money. But their bosses and their and the managers they work for are, you know, they're authoritative and they're bullies and they're miserable. They come in every day and they come to see me after work and they're just like, they're beat down. I'm saying, you're not going to change this person or their style of management. So let's think about maybe making a change because you're not going to change them. You know, find a healthy environment.
And, that's right. And use it in a way that will help you. You know, the bosses that I've had that are negative offer me the most wonderful anecdotes and stories for the future.
Right.
If nothing else, right? You think that's bad, let me tell you. Right?
Yeah.
So, in fact, one of the most highly trafficked posts I wrote are the 39 traits of a bad boss. I
mean, oh, my gosh.
We look at people and we think, you know, are you serious? Could you really be this bad?
Yeah.
Are you that negative?
Yeah.
But, you know, they're often in a miserable place themselves.
Well, of course.
And so I always stop and I say, okay, I want to study that person and why are they like this and what's motivating them and what's underlying for them, because I'm going to learn in that process even as I'm looking for something else to do.
Ooh, what a great idea. I love that. I love that because, you know, we do. Everybody has issues and you don't know what's going on in this guy's personal life or, you know, we don't know. Or the owners of the company, what kind of pressure are they putting on this? We just don't know. So that's a great idea too, is really understand that this person may be projecting their own unresolved stress onto you because it feels good to them, but they're never really satisfied because they haven't figured out how to work with that, so... Great idea, Skip. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in, you're on the couch here with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio, and we're speaking to a wonderful guest today, Skip Pritchard. He's written the Book of Mistakes, actually, and it's amazing. You are going to receive, through a wonderfully weaved story, that you will not be able to stop reading in one setting. I mean, 9 secrets to creating a successful future. And we're moving right along here to mistake number 5. And that has to do with staying in your comfort zone. But it feels so comfortable, Skip. I just like it here. I'm scared. So tell us more about why that's a mistake.
Well, our comfort zone is a comfortable place. It's a stable place. And most of us like it, crave it, and that's where we want to be. And I would say if you want to be average and mediocre, then stay in your comfort zone and you will be average and mediocre.
Right.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
If you want to be greater, if you want to be happier, if you want to be more fulfilled, if you want to be inspired, if you want to challenge others and inspire and make a difference in the world, then you want to get into your uncomfortable zone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's harder, right? That's where growth happens, right?
Yes.
That's where, you know, no matter what you're doing, that growth happens right on the edge. We are meant to grow.
Yes.
We are meant to learn. We are meant to rise higher. We are not meant for the couch.
Yes.
We were meant
that's true.
That way.
Right.
And so how do we how do we continue to grow? It's always that winners always seek out the uncomfortable. Mm. The most successful people that I've interviewed over the years and the people that I've worked with in business literally seek out moments to be uncomfortable. Mm. I'm uncomfortable with public speaking. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put myself in that environment mm-hmm. so that I become comfortable so that I can do what I thought was uncomfortable. I was literally just telling that story.
Wow.
And winners consistently look for those areas
yeah.
that are a little uncomfortable. Sandpaper is not a comfortable thing, but it smooths out these rough edges. It refines us. It makes us awesome. It makes us into an artwork. Mm. And so this uncomfortable area can be exactly the growth that we need for us and for our organizations.
Mm. Perfectly said. Yeah, one of the most common, I guess it's therapeutic orientations to people who have fears or phobias is exposure therapy, you know? So you expose yourself slowly to the feared object or situation or person. And you
yeah.
learn that, gosh, I'm not going to die. I may fail a couple of times, or it may, I don't like the word fail, but I may have issues and feel uncomfortable, but ooh, I'm going to learn that this is kind of exciting to expose yourself to the feared situation because you got through it. Maybe halfway, but you still did it, right? So it's great. And the story around that, you'll love David's lesson about that, readers. Now, mistake number 6, allowing temporary setbacks to become permanent failures. Oh my goodness. I have people coming in ruminating for years about temporary setbacks, and then they project it onto the future. Oh, I just know that this, it's going to happen again, or I just better not do that. Oh, how do we deal with this? So let's talk about how our thoughts control our destiny a little bit.
Yes, our great example of the period we're in right now is got to be Tiger Woods, right? I mean, he's
yeah.
recently won the Masters, 5th green jacket, 15th major golf tournament. Mm. But he overcame these setbacks, personal issues, divorce, crashing into a tree, injuries,
yes.
not winning any majors for 11 years, voices saying you'll never this, you're washed
right.
up.
Right.
How did he kind of turn that around? Mm-hmm. He always looked at all of those things as temporary setbacks.
Right.
He was not allowing that to be a permanent failure. And he kept at it. He kept coming back. He had tenacity and grit and self-talk and mindset. And he surrounded himself with the people that would fuel his dreams. He realized, as I say in the book, the most important microphone in the world is the one in your mind.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
The
it's
most
so true.
Important microphone is the one in your mind. What are you allowing that voice to say and to speak? And if you allow it to replay, this is what we do, right? And I'm sure on your couch, people are stuck
right,
in these,
right.
these formulas, right? They're in a loop. Let me play it again. And I can't playing it again
right.
and 1,000 times. And I played this so many times that I can't get out of it.
Yes.
I would say, well, change the narrative, right? Change
yeah.
the tape.
You're right.
I tell people, visualize an old tape recorder, pop out the tape and flip it over and put on the other
right.
side. Right?
There
but
you
what
go.
I'd say to you, if you could choose, right? If this is what I've been stuck in listening to this. What if I could choose what I was saying? Well,
there
put that
go.
Voice on. And all of these great people that I've met have turned their lives around by not allowing these setbacks to be permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And it just becomes so important. So
yeah.
take control of the self-talk.
Well, yeah.
Discipline yourself. Put the right things in your mind. Have the tenacity. And by the way, if you have serious issues where you can't let it go or whatever,
mm-hmm.
get the help and the therapy yeah. you need.
Yes.
You might need healing before you can be running. You might need to heal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? There's a time if you're injured
sure.
that you don't
sure.
just go running out the marathon. So
right.
be deliberate about that process.
So
right?
true.
But get the healing, get the help that you need, and then start to walk, start to jog, and then
mm-hmm.
start to run. You've
mm-hmm.
got to get back on with it. Do not allow these negative experiences to harden and cement the faster you're moving and moving forward, then they haven't kind of dried, and then you don't need to crack through them. They're still malleable enough that you can kind of propel and move forward.
Oh, that's so true. That's beautifully said, Skip. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch. This is Dr. Michelle, and my special guest today is Skip Pritchard. He's the author of the book of Mistakes. It's 9 Secrets to Creating a Successful Future. A great read. A wonderful story that weaves in true and amazing lessons that you can learn to achieve more success, to be that person that gets to fulfill your purpose in life, and on and on. And if you check out Skip's website, by the way, and what is the best way that people can check out your website and find out more about your book, Skip?
SkipPritchard.com. There's no T in Pritchard, so SkipPritchard, SkipPritchard.com, or TheBookOfMistakes.com, and all of the various social media links are there. And I'd love to connect with people and to hear their stories of how they're overcoming incredible mistakes or barriers or obstacles in their own lives.
Love it. Great. Let's just touch on the last couple of mistakes here. It's number 7. Trying to blend in instead of standing out. Well, yeah. I mean, that's how we get seen, right?
Greatness always stands out.
Yeah.
And sometimes we think it has to be, you know, super weird or super this or that and the other. I say that standing out is often simply outperforming expectations every time.
Right.
We remember the restaurant because the service was just a little bit more than we expected, and that makes it stand out.
Right.
So sure, it may be bizarre. It may be this, you know, people may stand out and that's important. But in the world we're in with this information overload, you need to be able to position stand out in a unique way or you'll be forgotten.
It's so true. And I love the emphasis you place on authenticity because, you know, we have to keep it real and be ourselves. And that's the beautiful expression of our unique giftedness, right?
Absolutely.
That's what it's beautiful. About.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So mistake number 8 is we're thinking that there's a fixed and limited amount of success available. Wow. How common is that, huh, Skip? You hear that a lot?
We hear it all the time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I think this is very, very important. And Stanford University, Carol Dweck, has a lot of research on the fixed mindset, right?
Oh,
this belief system that there's only a fixed amount of success. And if you get, you know, if X happening, I'm going to have less pie for me if you've eaten the pie. And yet the most successful people, if you have success, they're ecstatic for you because they realize they can learn from it and maybe duplicate it. And it has nothing to do with their own success. So it's so important. And the most successful people just don't get stuck in this. So you want to make sure that you're constantly thinking, I want to be on the growth mindset. I don't want to think I'm in this fixed mindset.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. It's all that. And, you know, there's so much science behind this now, too. And anything we repeatedly imagine with intensity becomes reality. And intensity and emotion and repetition and rehearsal builds neural patterns, and there's unlimited possibility in the universe. And this is not just, you know, it's new agey, hocus pocus. This is real science, folks. You're manifesting. You're putting out the energy, and the scientists out there have already measured it. So if you put that energy out in your mind, emotion, feeling, and visualization, and, right, Skip, we can't forget the actions. We have to take action. Be more assertive. Take some bold steps.
You have to move. And all the mistakes relate, right? Because you can easily make that an excuse. You can go back to number 3 and say, oh, well, somebody else has already done this, so therefore I can't because they've taken it. Instead of just embracing it and saying, how wonderful, and let's use that as a way forward. And let's use that energy from what they've created for me to create something even better.
It does. It really does. And also you talk about in mistake number 8, how helping others can magnetize people to our cause. How can that enhance our success? How do you explain that?
When you help other people, it does bring in energy and takes things forward. Oftentimes we find that we're stuck, and the way to get unstuck and out of a rut is to help others.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it just, you look at a problem differently. It will change the energy. It will get you around different people. And so all of those are different ways that you can just realize, wait, I'm not in a fixed area of a fixed mindset. Anything's possible. And together we can do these things. So yeah, helping others and showing gratitude is another big one that fuels this. Gratitude to me is the beginning of so much of success and changing your mindset.
Mm. Beautifully said. It really is, because you are that what you think. And if you show gratefulness out there in the universe and you are grateful for what you have, no matter what, we can always find things to be grateful for, even though we may not be real happy about certain circumstances. It tends to build, again, those neural patterns. It tends to build. And again, you talk about energy, Skip. You know, we're putting out energy. Every time we're grateful, we're saying thank you to the universe or others. And the universe will say, okay, here you go. Good for you.
Here you go, right? It takes that fixed limitation and it expands it. And it expands it. And that's what gratitude does. Mm. If I'm in a miserable job with a miserable boss, if everything's miserable, if I start to say, well, what can I be grateful for?
Yeah.
All of a sudden that starts to turn. Well, I am grateful that I have a paycheck. Well, wait, I'm grateful that I have benefits. Wait, I'm grateful that I have the opportunity. Mm. And if I really start to focus on that, eventually my whole attitude changes and I might find out that the boss wasn't miserable, I was.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Maybe not, right?
Exactly.
But it just definitely changes everything. Yeah. Gratitude is just, it is the grease to the engine that changes everything.
Oh, is that beautiful? And if you're grumpy out there and you can't find gratitude, think about the things that other people don't have that you have. Right? Even the smallest things. So that's a great way to build it, you know. And last, certainly not least, is mistake number 9. Oh, this one really hurt me because I took way too many time with certain, let's just say journeys in the psychiatric field. Too many clinics and psychiatric hospital work. It says, believe you have all the time in the world is really not a good thing to do. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and it relates partly to the label I was talking about earlier when I was told your impatience is actually a high sense of urgency. Mm. The most successful people get on with it, right? So we can be stuck in our thoughts. Mm-hmm. We can get stuck in our feelings. So whether it's our mind or our heart, but we've got to then at some point engage the body. We have to start acting, right? Mm-hmm. So thinking and feeling may be appropriate, may be necessary, have a season, but then you have to act.
Right.
And the people who are the most successful realize they don't have all the time in the world.
Mm-hmm.
What if one day became today, right? Not one day I'm going to write a book, but today I'm going to write a paragraph.
Yay!
Not one day I'm going to lose weight, but today I'm going to do this or drink a juice or have this, have one less cupcake, right? Whatever.
There you go. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's these little things, but take the one day to today. And if you realize as you start to make it today and start to take actions that it's not giving you joy, you might realize, well, some of those things I intended to do, I really didn't intend to do.
Right.
I like the idea.
Right, right, exactly.
Well, cross that off your list so that you don't have the psychic kind of drain.
Right.
And instead, just be in today.
Yeah.
Be fully present. Enjoy it. And you want to hold those two things together where you're living your day as if it's the last day and the first day.
Mm.
All at the same time, right?
Right.
So if today was my last day, what would I do? And if it was my first day, how would I approach it?
Mm.
And if you think about your life and this day is just this beautiful gift that's been given to you, for you to be able to move forward and impact others, it can become a beautiful, beautiful day to be grateful for.
Oh, beautifully said. Thank you so much, Skip. It's about that time already. See, you and I were talking about it earlier, how quickly these interviews go when we get into it. You know, talking about time. So if you missed it, folks, you can listen to it again. Show's going to be up in the archives as soon as we get off the air, and also in iTunes podcasts for free under On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. So check it out. The Book of Mistakes, 9 Secrets to Creating a Successful Future, skippritchard.com. Get the book. You can find it anywhere. Amazon's good too, but you'll find out more about Skip if you go onto his website. Thank you so much for being such a terrific guest today, Skip. So much fun.
Well, thank you so much for all the work that you do and the help that you give so many people. And a shout out to the Los Angeles Public Library and the board chair of OCLC, which is John Szabo, who happens to lead the Los Angeles Public Library.
Oh, that's lovely. Yay, John. Thanks for all the work you do with the libraries as well. That's amazing. So much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thanks, Skip. Take good care, and we'll talk again. Bye-bye. All right, that's Skip Pritchard again. And if you'd like to, like I said, get a hold of the book, it'll be right here anywhere you want to find it. I will put it up in the archives. And thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for staying on the couch with me. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and don't forget that you got to take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Have a good day, and I'll talk to you next Friday, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. Bye-bye.